baby.
We in here, yeah, we in here.
Y'all better get comfortable with saying black.
We in here, yeah, we in here.
Black versus the Board of Education.
Cause we came here, bringing a lesson now. We in here, yeah, we in here. Cause we came here, bringing a lesson now. And you know that we don't ever go here, because we've been here.
That's why we are indeed a whole mood.
That's it.
Happy Monday and welcome to another episode of Black versus the Board of Education. My name is Miss Laureen and we welcome you into this space. Hopefully you've had a restful weekend because I cannot say that was my ministry this weekend. Hopefully you're doing a lot better than I am, but it is all good. Today we're going to be talking about Black educators wanted / needed, breaking barriers to teaching. And in a short while, we'll be joined by Dr. Karina Figueroa Ramirez from the Sac State College of Education. But before we get to that, we always love to let you know who's in the building. So why don't you go ahead and I'm going to go to Jazz right here. I don't know what you got going on.
Hey, y'all. It's Jazz back on the stream coming to you real clean.
Well, hey, hey, hey. And over there, something, he's telling you to turn it down, Tevin, because it's really loud.
It's a little distracting.
Okay. Hi, so go ahead and introduce yourself. They can't see you yet because the camera hasn't changed, but I know Tevin's going to fix that up. So go ahead. And
how y'all doing? I'm Xavier. I'm one of the BBSN mentors.
Welcome back. We haven't seen you in a little bit, but I'm glad you joined us today.
Appreciate it.
And over here, back for another episode. I didn't expect to see you today, but I'm so glad that we are looking at you. Go ahead and tell me, who are you?
My name is Bryce, part of the BBSN group. I'm back again. Doing pretty good.
Oh, fantastic. Welcome back. And sir, right next to you, I know you wanted him to introduce you all willy-nilly and stuff, but we're going to let you introduce yourself.
Not willy-nilly, very serious.
Oh, very serious. Mm. Okay, well,
how are everybody doing? I'm Fox.
Hey, Fox. Oh. Welcome back. And I see you don't have my girl on the stage just yet. And as soon as you do, we'll go ahead and round it out with our longest running co-host, my sidekick, my boo-boo. I missed her because I flew out of LA and she was flying in. But go ahead and introduce yourself, love.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melissa and I'm back. I'm back for another episode.
And we're glad to see you. And so look, we've had quite the last few days. I know on Friday we had our LOH 25, so our legislative open house of 2025. This was the first time we had been back at the Capitol in 5 years. So I'm gonna kick it to the team. I want to know, you know, what are your thoughts? What did you see? What are you most proud of? Tell me something good. Come on, Jess.
Wow. LOH was the amount of planning and behind the scenes that it took to pull this whole thing off, and down to the details of who's going where and who's taking what and like color coding the folders. Like, it was just so intricate, like down to the littlest things. And mm-hmm. so for it to come through the way that it did and have the turnout and outcome not the way that it did, it was just really a beautiful thing to see. And like, yeah, we BYOP, y'all knew what we was. Like, stop acting like you don't know.
Xavier, well, tell me something. What did you see? What are you most proud
something,
of?
Just a lot of hands on deck.
Yeah.
Inevitably, we got it done. Just a lot of time, hard work put into it, crunched down in a small period of time, but we got it done.
Well, I mean, I hear y'all talking about the team, but what about the kids? Like, what was up with the kids? How did y'all feel about what we saw?
I feel like, well, this is my first LOH for myself. I've only been here for a few months at BYOP, but from what I've seen, the kids were more mature than I expected. It was middle schoolers and high schoolers. Predominantly high schoolers, but you know, they were fairly mature.
That's what's up.
Yeah, more than I was expecting.
Uh-huh. Mr. Fox, tell me something. What did you see? What are you most proud of?
I'm most proud of the way that the definition of why we brought the kids there in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, them kids stood on the same steps that the Black Panthers once stood on. So to see that those kids came there, not with the no Black Panther sentiment, but just with I need to gain knowledge to know how to advocate for self and my people, knowledge and they stood at the same place that our Panthers once stood at. Mm-hmm. But the Panthers, they made the one thing that a lot of people say they made a mistake for, it was they bought guns.
Well, it was legal.
Yeah, it was legal. But
that was within their rights.
But that let them know that, hey, y'all here. And that gave them something to attack versus this group of youngsters. Their weapons was their mind. Mm. And that's not something that you could take from them.
Boys.
Yeah.
You can't take that from them. So whereas the Panthers, I ain't going to say that's where they failed. I'm just going to say that's where other people seem to believe that that's where the catalyst has started out for them. These babies were standing up there, man, and they was happy. They was proud, and they was asking the right questions, and they was on their way to being rubbing shoulders and making connections with people of the same level of knowledge to advocate for themselves, to advocate for others, to learn what the legislative measure was about, to learn who they need to talk to learn who their local government is, their local Senate is. And I even heard some of them actually said that they have already been participating often and going to school board meetings, and you know, they were soaking up the knowledge. It was a beautiful thing to see that, you know, not just that we was able to get the people there, but the people wasted no time. They didn't waste the time or the moment of what they was there for.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. But I have to tell y'all something, because I noticed something about this particular legislative open house. This was the first time we had a large contingent of students from Twin Rivers Unified School District. So I want to shout out their superintendent, Steve Martinez, who I texted him and I said, hey, I need you to send us some kids. And he sent two buses. So shout out to Twin Rivers Unified for getting the kids there, because I think that we were able to light some spark. I saw certain things that generally a lot of kids, when they come to the Capitol and a lot of them haven't been there before, they tend to shrink. But these babies stood on business. Also, shout out to Barry Axius and Dr. O, who came through and did some powerful workshops, and Sister Adwoa. I don't know how to pronounce it. Sorry, sis. I didn't really get to meet you, but she did. She took over the second session for me. So shout out to them for coming through. And I think the way that it flowed was really good in getting the information to the young people. The luncheon was amazing. Yeah, shout out to Royal Ramey, who came through and dropped some nuggets on us. And then, of course, taking the babies onto the assembly floor, reading clerk David. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna forget his last name, and I know it. The reading clerk for the assembly is David Bowman. He made sure to set it off right and put the rules in place. And a big, big, big shout out to Julius McIntyre, who helped with logistics and made sure that we had everything we needed to be successful on Friday. And we cannot do it without all of these elements coming together. And I think that we put it on for the babies, and they left happy and they wanted more. We ran out of time on the assembly floor, but the lines that were in place where those babies still had something to say. I'm just super, super proud of them. And I want them to know that. And we look forward to having some of them as co-hosts on our podcast in the near future. So shout out, man. I'm just super excited about it.
I was told that we have like a little preview that can be shown.
Do we have a preview that can be shown? I don't know. I thought he was gonna put it up. I was just gonna keep talking until he found it. But shout out to our media team who was in the building, and they made sure to capture the moment. So we're gonna let this play real quick, and we'll be right back. Is there sound to it? Oh, there's no sound. So y'all could just watch it. So this is me greeting the students in the morning. So mind you, I had just hopped off a plane. I was up at 2:30 in the morning at the airport by 4:30 and flew into town to be part of this event. And when I say that we did not miss a beat, we absolutely did not miss a beat. Barry, here he is, trying to get everybody involved and screaming on everybody. But that's the bros. That's his personality. And so we're very, very thankful for everybody who contributed to the success of this year's event. And I cannot wait till next year, because we're going to have more time to plan and we're going to get more students in the building, because I'm never happy unless we have maximum amount of students that we can host. So that is my goal next time. So, Melissa Joy, where did Melissa go? Because I know this is the second time that we're even broaching this conversation about Black educators being wanted and needed in breaking the barriers in teaching. And Melissa wants to be a teacher. And so we always talk about the lack of representation on campuses. So just as a general question to kick us off, what is the importance of having teachers who looks like you on campus? Bryce, I'm going to start with you and then we'll go to Melissa. What is the importance?
I'd say the importance of having a teacher.
And we're going to put our mouth on that microphone because we got to make sure we're hearing the baby.
Uh-huh. I'd say the importance of having a teacher who looks like you on campus makes it to where you can have a more of a better connection with them rather than someone who is white.
Okay.
Or is a different race.
Does it matter what race they are, though?
It doesn't matter what race they are.
Okay. Because I don't want anybody jumping in our comments talking all crazy because then I'm going to have to go off because I'm tired. Oh. So I want you to be very clear.
Yeah.
It does not matter the race that they are. However, when they look like you, it's different because you feel closer.
Yes.
Allegedly. Yeah. Because we know that all skin folk ain't kin folk, and we'll talk about that, too. And I didn't mean to cut you off. Were you done with your moment?
Yeah, I was done with what I was
Okay. saying. Melissa, talk to me.
Okay, so what you just said about all skin folk and kin folk is what I wanted to say about, yes, having teachers that look like you, but also teachers that have the best intention for you that also look like you. Because you can have a Black teacher or a teacher that looks like you in a space that also does not have your best intention at heart.
Straight up. Xavier?
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
What is the importance of having a teacher... seeing the representation of a teacher who looks like you on your campus?
We have a history in our culture of not being educated or not being viewed as not educated.
Okay.
Not
educated. I was about to say, hold up. Because Brown versus the Board of Education actually took Black teachers and put them someplace else, maybe fired them from their jobs, and they shipped all the Black kids over to integrated schools.
Yeah.
So go ahead. I didn't want to cut you off.
A crazy topic in this world currently as well.
Uh-huh.
The integration and segregation of Blacks and whites, but that's neither here nor there. As far as representation on a school campus, what I was touching on as far as not always being viewed as educated.
Right.
Growing up, personally, having predominantly white teachers, that was my view of teachers only being of white skin complexion.
Okay.
There were, I would say, about 2 to 3 Black teachers at my school, but never did I have the chance to directly be their student, but I did form relationships with them because they did outsource and connect with those students, and that's why it's so important to have them on the campus. It's just because it's somebody who we can connect with.
Okay. Jess?
I agree with what he was saying because I came through public school, Christian school, and then the charter school. And so having the teachers that look like you, maybe that understand more of the outbursts that Black students may have and may not just resort to, suspension, expulsion, like other teachers would. They would just have more of an understanding because they came from most likely the same culture, general culture. I feel as though it helps our babies to see, like, yeah, this person got their degree, got their stuff together. Now they're doing something that's good and like not what you're seeing in the media and what they're trying to tell you that you should be, you know, showing that you can be more and you can do what you like and love if, you know, the teachers are loving of their job.
Yeah. And I just want to pop in real quick because I just got an email from our guest who was supposed to be joining us and she's still at the hospital. So she wants to reschedule, but we're going to keep it moving because I think this is a great topic to kind of lay the landscape of what it is we're going to be talking to her about. Mm-hmm. So, Fox, do you want to answer that question? What is the importance of having teachers who look like you on campus?
For me and a lot of the Black boys that we be talking to, it seems to be there's no buy-in theory. But until I see my people up in the room, so while I mimic the same sentiment when I was a child, even within the workforce. So if I go to a restaurant or something, if I don't see no Black folks up in there, I'm this must not be cool. I'm out. I'm not about to be the first one to find out. But the same thing for our youth. You know, they always be saying, how come I can't set the sense with the black kids? They always notice what's going on and when they being punished the most. But I think it comes from the question you asked. Them not seeing their own in the room, it's harder for them to believe that you even really care.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, we don't even have a buy-in theory.
Yeah.
So if I have no buy-in theory, the child has no buy-in theory, then everything else seems to be out the door. I don't think you care. I'm half listening.
Mm-hmm.
For sure looking for the bathroom break.
You know, yeah. And Xavier, you said something. You said, thinking about today, and you said they're talking about segregation again. Mm-hmm. I know that there was this sentiment that segregation or integration actually harmed Black folks.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think segregation is harmful, or do you think that maybe it would be advantageous to Black students to have Black teachers and Black folks surrounding them all the time?
So I have two answers.
Okay, give me two. I'll take them.
I think
100%. Put your mouth on the microphone.
I think 100% it would benefit our Black boys and girls to mm-hmm. have nothing but Black people surrounding us in all fields of community.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, I actually, yesterday, the reason why I brought that up is because it was fresh on my mind as far as that segregation topic. I was listening to a creator on TikTok, shout out to TikTok. And she was saying that segregation was, and I'm going to draw a blank because I'm on the spot.
Uh-huh.
But
Melissa thinks you're funny.
Nah, but she was hitting some valid points just as far as it was more so an alignment for white people because, and I'm drawing a blank again.
Well, let me come back to you. I want you to think about it because I'm really interested in hearing, you know, what you're trying to convey.
Mm-hmm.
But Martin Luther King said that he felt that he had led his people into a burning building.
Right.
Right. And so, Melissa, is it advantageous for our children to be surrounded by folks who look like them in the educational space? Because I remember when folks had Black teachers or Black male teachers specifically, they said they do better. So what do you think? Do you think our students have a better chance at success if they had Black teachers and their peers surrounding them?
I think that it's a really complicated question because if you're forcing segregation without giving proper resources for children, we run into the same problems that we have now.
Mm. Yeah. I see that. I see that in terms of resources, but they are still segregating those resources currently. They haven't integrated those resources. That's why we've had to put things in place like diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because if they were really sparsing out things the way that they should have been, then we would see more of a equal playing field. And we don't see that. So, Fox, what are you thinking? Do you think we have a better chance of our children being successful if they have folks who look like them around them at all times?
I wanted to say no,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to say no just because this is America. Right? Like, you know, the land.
Well, we've never had the benefit of it, right?
We never going to. This country was not built for us. We built this country,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't built for us.
But in the image of what you wanted for you,
mm-hmm.
right? However, I think it would be beneficial for us to be back around each other. It would in prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first line of defense for Blacks in prison is to align they sell.
Mm-hmm.
All gang crap out the door. Bloods and Crips, sell you up. Northern California, Southern California, they talk.
Mm-hmm.
People start to move forward because of the war they up against behind those bars.
Right.
Right.
So out here, when we've seen advancement movements amongst us, it was because we was amongst our own.
Mm-hmm.
Every time it got stopped or some counter pro intel happened and people got the missling and telling the secrets to the people they wasn't supposed to tell them to.
Right.
But for us to be around our own is to be able to love our own,
mm-hmm.
be able to teach our own,
mm-hmm.
to be able to teach our own how to cook, to be able to bring the black dollar back to the black community.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you know for sure where your money's going to.
Mm.
Your money when you invest it over here, now mm-hmm. it for sure goes to it. So I'm for the segregation.
You're for it?
I'm for it.
Okay.
And it's not because I have no hatred towards other people.
Mm-hmm. You want to try something different?
I'm not trying nothing different. We're just openly doing. We openly doing what you've been wanting to do. You've been wanting us to be away.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So
because that show stacked they sports teams with y'all. Yeah. But anyway, let's not do that.
Let's pull.
But listen, I have a question for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
When did you have your first black teacher? How old were you? When did you have it? Well, or did you ever have it?
Eighth grade.
You born into this world to a black mama. What you talking about?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's a fact.
But I'm talking about on school campus, sir. So you said eighth grade.
That's a fact.
You said eighth grade, right?
Eighth grade.
When did you have your first black teacher?
Fourth grade.
Sixth grade.
I didn't have my first black teacher till ninth grade.
Yeah, it's almost like a roll of the dice.
When did you have your first black teacher?
Preschool, Miss Anderson.
Preschool. Oh, come on. Melissa.
Fifth grade.
And out of all the teachers that you've had, which one sticks out in your mind? And that it doesn't have to be a black one, but I'm just saying, and who sticks out in your mind and why?
Who stick out in my mind and why?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say Jesus, man.
Wait, no, I'm talking about on school campuses, sir.
He'd be with me there. If it wasn't for Jesus, I might not have made it through.
Okay. Bryce, who sticks out in your mind and why?
I'd have to say I think it was fourth grade teacher.
Uh-huh. Name?
Mr. Coffee.
Mr. Coffee. Why did Mr. Coffee stick out to you?
Stick out to me because he really liked to connect with the students.
Okay.
And it was more, instead of him just teaching class,
mm-hmm.
it was, he had a connection with each one of them. So it helped him actually learn instead of just being in the classroom.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Xavier.
So actually, I said eighth grade, but I actually had a black elementary school principal.
Me too.
And she stuck by me. And she tried to, she worked with me a lot about, because I was a troublemaker before I became.
No, you know what I'm saying? Not Boy, you.
Not really a troublemaker, just.
Uh-huh. Who told you were a troublemaker?
Exactly.
Okay.
Your answer. Actually, now that we're on the topic of education, my kindergarten teacher called me a Negro during teaching colors. When I referred to myself as brown, she called me. She said, no, you're a Negro in front of the whole class. And so.
What's wrong with being called a Negro?
By your teacher in front of the class.
Well, she probably was looking at the crayon where it said Negro, but you know.
She was Caucasian. She didn't speak a lick of Spanish. You know what I'm saying?
I don't speak Spanish either, but right. I know what the crayon said.
Right. But, yeah, it was just out of context. And she also referred to me as immature on my.
In kindergarten?
In kindergarten.
On immature? Are you supposed to be immature?
Right. But yeah.
Oh, Lord.
But the teacher that stuck out to me, I would say eighth grade, Mr. Malone. He was mine. Science teacher.
And why did Mr. Malone stick out?
I would say he stuck out because he was my first male, no, not first male, just first black male teacher. And you know, there's a I feel like we're on the topic for a reason, and it's because there's a different type of connectivity that you have with a black individual, period.
Okay.
Let alone a teacher.
Because it's like this unspoken thing, right?
It's completely
the head
unspoken.
Like the head nod when you see him in
exactly.
It. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Melissa, talk to me. Who's your teacher? Who sticks out and why?
Okay, so on the topic of talking about black male teachers, I remember that in third grade, I had a chess teacher, and he was black. He was my first black male teacher as well. And I think the only one I've ever had, like, up until going to college.
Uh-huh.
And he really stood out because, like, chess isn't really, at least, isn't really seen as some a sport or, I mean, a game that, like, black people know how to play. At least in some of the settings that I've been in. And so being able to take lessons from him and see how passionate he was about it, I learned a lot from him.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is exactly why we need to have our own, like, completely separated communities, because we would have somebody for everything.
Yeah.
And
we had that. We had
I
that.
I know we did.
Black Wall Street, we had that.
Right.
I don't know present day, where we can find all that. But we did have that. And every time we made moves to have something of our own, it was destroyed by that white mob mentality. And so we have to figure out how we get back to that. So Jazz, who your teacher and who sticks out and why?
Technically, my fourth grade Black teacher sticks out, but it was only because she was Black. But she was also like, it's so like, it was my first Black teacher. I was like, and she's a Black woman.
Uh-huh.
So, and she had kids. And so like, just the whole, her class as an experience was just like going from home to home, or like going from home to your cousin's house with the auntie that don't play, you know, like just like the same kind of feeling. But like, she also understood that we needed to move and we needed to outburst sometimes and we needed, you know, to move around.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So like I said, like just instead of, oh, go to the office, like it was more so, okay, come sit down over here. And let's separate because y'all just having too much energy feeding off each other. Like she understood what needed to be done instead of getting afraid and calling security and, you know, whole other thing and a half.
Okay.
But also shout out Mr. Dinacore, Laguna Creek High School, because
he was Mr. Dinacore?
Yes. He was the teacher that got me through Laguna when all in, I should have called you, but instead I just moved schools.
Oh,
there's a lot going on.
Okay.
But yeah, shout out Mr. Dinacore because he helped me through all that since my freshman year.
That's what's up. One of my favorite teachers, I call her Miss Giles. I know she's been married for some 20 odd years now, but she's still on my Facebook page. And every time her birthday comes around, I tell her happy birthday, Miss Giles. She was my ninth grade math teacher. And I've never had another Black math teacher since her. And she would, I don't know, it was something about her. She had this long hair. She used to wear this eyeliner, and she was just always in my mind, always regal. And it was something that she possessed that I'm like, man, I'm gonna grow up to be like her, you know what I mean? And she would take me home. We would have these conversations. I went through this.
Take you home?
Oh yeah, we were really close. She was also she was like an advisor for this rites of passage group that we did called Images. And it was just, you know, how do you see yourself as a Black girl? And so we were very, very close. We did a lot of things. We went to a lot of conferences, not just she and I, but the group of girls and this one teacher. And that was the first time, I think, that I've had community outside, you know, because my mama didn't let me spend the night nowhere. But I spent the night over, I want to say I spent the night at this lady's house with this group of girls, right? And we met Mae Jameson, the astronaut, and we, you know, we went to this conference called Images, and it was all these Black women, and the AKA came through, and I just knew I was going to pledge AKA, and then they told me what they was going to do, and I told them, bros, if you hit me, I'm hitting you back, and I didn't end up pledging. But I just wanted to let y'all know that looking at her, I wanted to be an AKA for a moment. It never materialized, but I just wanted to share that. So do you guys think that Black teachers have more patience? I know. I always say a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think they have more patience to deal with the issues that children are dealing with? Not just all children, but Black children specifically. Do you think they have more patience to deal with that?
They being,
I don't know if patience is the word.
Eh?
They being Black teachers?
Yeah.
And then,
that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't know if the word is patience. I think it's just more so understanding, because like we know, but as say, if I was a Black educator,
you're a community educator,
right. You're absolutely right. I have nieces and little cousins and nephews, and they come all shapes, sizes, personalities, quiet, loud, ADHD tendencies, but completely normal kid, you know what I'm saying? So when you come into a classroom and you see those things, it's not out of the ordinary, it's not nothing you've never seen before. But when it's a Black educator who comes from this little community or town or community, and they romanticize themselves as a teacher, but what that looks like in their head is completely different from what it actually materializes to be. And you have all of these Black kids with, like I'm saying, like all these different things, you've never seen these things before, so it's different, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And they maybe they don't have the capabilities or the patience, I would say it's patience or empathy, cater to a child, teach them things that aren't in the book. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
What book?
Melissa.
The books that they're using.
The books they're using in the classrooms, girl.
I was like, they made a parenting book for Black kids?
No.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Melissa, do Black teachers have more patience to deal with the unique personalities and learning styles of Black children? Fox, what you think? Because I think Melissa... there you are. Come on, girl.
Okay, sorry. I think that they definitely can, based off of, like it was said, some of the experiences that they have within their families. But I think it does really take that patience aspect, because you can have white teachers that completely understand that this is a Black student who's going to come from whatever background possible and stereotype them and have their underlying biases and still treat them differently and not treat them the same as everyone or try and meet their needs. So I think there is definitely another level of patience that comes with the understanding, the empathizing, and really almost putting yourself in that child's shoes and trying to kind of cater to that student. But I think it just depends on the person, because Black people aren't a monolith. Black teachers aren't a monolith. So I think it really just depends on the person.
Yes, ma'am.
What does mean again? I'm sorry.
We're not all the same.
Okay.
Right. Shout out to Miss Tawana in the chat. She said, in fourth grade, Miss Knight was my favorite teacher. She was Black genius and the first person who ever truly spoke life into me, saw me as brilliant and capable of anything. I will never forget her. And then Miss Brittany Walker popped into the chat. She said, it varies. And I'm thinking she's trying to answer my current question, which is if Black teachers have more patience to deal with it. Unique challenges or unique personalities of Black kids. Fox, what do you think?
I think that they just we just speak the same language, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's necessarily, it could be more patience, but then again, it's like, if you, it's a saying in our community culturally, you know what I mean, still, even though it's not, we don't see so much of the village thing as mm-hmm. we used to, but it's still heavy sentiments
mm-hmm. in the way. And what you mean by that? We don't see the village thing. I see the village thing. What you talking about?
Not everyone does.
Everybody doesn't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Explain it to me, because I'm not the only one. We on the podcast, so explain it to me.
The village is where, you know, each one teach one within our culture.
Okay.
It's not my kid, but that's still my nephew. That's my little bro. That's my little cousin. That's somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He may not be mine, but he a part of my community.
Yeah. So
when I see him cry, I'm hey, what's going on? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so apt to punish him, because again, I speak the same language. I can look at a little boy that mm-hmm. he ain't my little boy, but I can tell, look at him, he fake crying. You know what I mean? You know, Xavier, we be in the room and the boys come in and be, look, he only up in here because he wants some chips. We call him out and keep it moving. And then, you know, they run their little game on us, try to get some chips. And then we tell them no, because you ain't earned them yet. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. they leave out the door, not crying. The same way they would if a different culture would say something to them, because we not saying it to them in a mean way. I can raise my, you've heard me, I've heard you, you know, we raise our voice to get our point across sometimes to these kids, but they know that it ain't because we don't care. They'd be like, all right, Xavier, it's like that, and then they bounce.
Right.
You know? So I agree with Xavier. I don't think it's more patience we have. We just speak the same language.
Maybe I'm just talking about certain people then. What do you think, Bryce?
I'd have to agree with Xavier and Mr. Fox. They basically brought my point across what I was going to say.
Okay. And your point was?
Like, it's not really, it really is depending on the perspective and the culture. Because mm-hmm. some cultures may think or label us as troublemakers because mm-hmm. we may have extra energy, or we may be want to move around or do some other stuff in class
mm-hmm.
when we just need to be understood by our own culture
mm-hmm.
and not just sent up to the office or not really understood.
Mm-hmm. So I understand what you're saying. You said that our own culture, we need to be understood by our own culture, but our own culture does not make up the majority of the teaching force. So when I'm asking us questions, of course it's by design.
By design.
Because what I've learned and what I've noticed, there are Black teachers on these campuses who can't be authentically Black for fear of being seen as
unprofessional.
not just unprofessional, but biased towards Black students when the other cultures can be biased against Black students.
Right.
You don't want to be seen as somebody who favors Black children, although they favor the children that look like them. And so I just think that a lot of times we're looking.
Why is that in our community? It's frowned upon, and it takes place today because you don't.
In our community, be specific. What are we talking about?
In our community, as far as being outwardly Black, it's like.
Oh, because it's not palatable, baby. It's not palatable, and it's not cute, right?
Yeah.
Again, there are certain people, like you guys have the benefit of actually working here.
Yeah.
Right. If you worked someplace else and you tried to come in and be authentically you, mm-hmm. they would try to temper that because that's not palatable for everybody.
Right.
Right. And so when I look at the things that are going on around school campuses, quite frankly, some of the Black folks that I come into contact with are highly problematic because they don't want to be seen as being too lenient on Black children. So what they end up doing is using them as an example for everybody else who may come behind them. And there's not a lot of patience. There's not a lot of empathy for a lot of them because they don't want to be seen as discriminatory. Mm-hmm. Now, when I first started here, they called me discriminatory, right? And so you can get upset about that or you can phrase it in a different way. So what I said was, well, if I had an issue with my heart, would I go to a foot doctor? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to somebody who can actually help me with my issue, right? And so if you're expecting me, and this is, they only do this with Black nonprofits, I'm assuming, because I never heard them tell any other group, whether it be the Asian Chamber of Commerce, the Latino Chamber of Commerce, or the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, whatever the actual demographic marker is. I don't believe that they have to deal with or contend with some of the things that Black folks have to contend with to be in this space to provide a service specifically for our people.
It's real.
They want us to serve everybody. And the thing is, I don't have a problem serving everybody, but I'm be specific about who I came here to serve. Mm-hmm. And if everybody else needs to be served at the same time, I'm going to take care of them first and then we come see about you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But they would like to phrase it that is something wrong with you being specific about your people. Well, why are you going after Black kids? Duh, I'm Black. Duh. Mm-hmm. Like, in case you needed to know, that's why I do it. You have your own advocates. Tell them, come see about you. Now, I realize that everybody doesn't do it like we do it. Mm-hmm. You want over here? Come on over. But I refuse to capitulate to somebody who doesn't do what I do and don't know how to do what I do and don't even read their own data to then interpret it correctly to change the way they do it before they have to come in and sit at the table with me. I'm not going to negotiate with anybody, especially not terrorists. We're not doing it. So when you're thinking about our babies, right? We saw a whole bunch of babies this weekend, especially on Friday, because I know we were at Sac State on Saturday. But on Friday, we saw a bunch of kids, but we also saw some non-Black kids.
A bunch of them.
And I would posit that they probably wouldn't say that they were treated any different. I think we loved everybody at the same rate, at the same time. We fed everybody. We hung out with everybody. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it was Black Youth Leadership Project's Legislative Open House 25. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
And they showed up happy, too.
They were happy. They were grateful.
Mm-hmm. Very grateful.
And there's a different vibe that we bring to the table when we're talking about service. Mm-hmm. We did the remix right in front of them. I'm like, okay, we're going to be just like Black people. We're going to do the remix real quick because I see we running out of time. So we're going to have to do A, B, C, and D. And we didn't miss a step, right? And so I think that there's a value into bringing our voices to the table. Whether you know how to do what we do or not, if you don't know how to do what I'm doing, get out of my way, okay? Or I'm going to run you over. But I think that there has to be a conversation, or maybe not even a conversation, an understanding that we get to where we allow people to be them and we get out of the way, even if they don't understand how we're doing or why we're doing something, ask us and move out the way.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of trying to validate why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we had more teachers, and I can't wait to get Dr. Figueroa Ramirez on here about the different programs that Sac State has that will usher kids through this pipeline to build a force of teachers. But we have to get to the point where we're having, we're standing 10 toes down. And we're really trying to make a difference for our kids, because we cannot sustain at this level any longer, where our children are the last to be called on in class, the first ones to be kicked out, the last ones to be dealt with care, compassion, and concern, but the first ones to be seen as a problem, to be seen as ghetto, ignorant, unable to control themselves, unworthy of this disproportionate discipline that they are falling to. Like, we have to start having those real conversations. And without them, we're going to keep dealing with folks who think they have the blueprint when their blueprint is trash. Right. Straight up.
For their own, too. It's also trash for their own as well.
Well, it may be, but their kids are not dealing with the disproportionate discipline or the ignorance of. And when I say ignorance, I'm not saying the teachers are stupid. What I'm saying is their methods have not changed in years. And we're dealing with different children, and we're trying to use the same type of tactics, and that's not working.
Yeah.
So we need to be open to bringing other people into the conversation that could help us update some of those, that software that has probably needs to be thrown out. Mm-hmm. Melissa, talk to me. What do we need to be doing? Go ahead, baby.
No, I was just going to, for one, I was going to say everything that you're saying is why I want to become a teacher, to be able to be that representation, to be able to go into the classrooms and actually be able to, yeah, let students know that there is someone there who sees them, to have that patience, to have that understanding, just to be able to be a safe space for students. Can you ask your question again, though, so I can actually respond to it?
Because I don't remember it.
Okay. Well, hello.
She said, I said, what do we need to do to make it more equitable? But before you go, I see Ms. Tawana left another comment. She said, we don't just need more Black teachers simply because they're Black. And, you know, we gonna snap that up. We need them because whiteness is incapable of holding space for Black kids without committing violence and trauma against us. You know, that's my spirit animal in the comments. sis is bringing knowledge, and that's the one that's studying to be a counselor. Mm. And to know kind of what you're up against and to still want to go serve in these schools is admirable. But go ahead, Melissa, what do you think we need to do to make sure that we're insulating our babies just a little bit more? You know, we may not be able to change the tide right away, but what can we do?
I think, well, I mean, like you said, it's not something that can change overnight. What actually needs to happen is going in and holding so many more people other than teachers accountable. But I think for one, it's making sure.
Like who else we holding accountable?
Girl, we got to hold everybody accountable because nobody is there for this. No. Hey, we could sit here for another podcast episode and make a list of people we need to hold accountable, because there's so many people that we send Black children into, and this is the reason why I was homeschooled for the majority of my life, because going into public school systems, there are so many people who are just there to get a check and see students as dollar signs. You have to show up in order for them to get paid. And that's really all they care about. And so there's so many people that we need to hold accountable, but on the surface, or a quick remedy to answer your question, I think it's just making sure that there are organizations or even just other people who care that are like BYLP, who are there for Black students to rely on, that can be implemented into schools and just are there as an extra support, because it's not easy to put in so many teachers that are representation, that are there for the right reasons, to be able to help those students immediately. You have to dismantle and take apart and restructure so many different things in order to successfully support our children in a system that wasn't designed for us to succeed.
Facts. Xavier?
Couldn't have said that better. I agree 100% with what Melissa said.
You don't have none to add? Bryce.
Do you repeat the question?
What do we need to do to make sure we insulate our babies just a little bit more on the campuses? Melissa says that, you know, programs like BYLP could be instrumental in helping schools kind of add a layer of support, yeah. Right? What else do you think we could do?
I'd say kind of building on having programs and extra support that some kids that we may see that have some struggles in the classroom maybe pull aside and say, hey, what could help you do better in the classroom or help focus them towards a goal instead of immediately trying to shut them down.
Mm. Facts. What can we do to insulate these babies more?
We need more people to show up to them school board meetings and really speak on it on the microphone. You know what I mean? So that these people will stop thinking that we just come in there to get on their nerves and be a thorn in their side, which we're going to continue to do anyway.
I do.
But it would be nice for all these parents and as kids as well. These kids that we was raising at the LOH this weekend, you know, I'm unaware that the kids know that they can come to the school board meetings they self and start advocating they self.
They didn't know. They didn't know that they could come. And I let them know that they could. So hopefully they'll start showing up. Because what one of them said, I believe she was from Highlands. What she said was they are given, she's a student representative for one of the schools. She says that they are given kind of a framework of things that they can talk about. So it's not to bring up problems. It's to tell you about the activities we did and, you know, all the good things. But it's never, you know, in their report out, it's never to bring up any issues. And so my second question to her was then, okay, after you do your report out, do you stay for public comment? And she didn't know she could. So we're going to start encouraging them babies to use their voices effectively so that we can get some stuff done. But you know what? We're going to end a little early today because we started a little late. We were waiting for our guest, but she is going to reschedule with us. So with that, we're going to hit you. We're definitely going to see her next time because we want her to take care of herself.
And our thoughts for her medical.
Absolutely. We want her to take care of herself, but we will reschedule this episode. We're going to end it a little bit early. We're going to hit y'all with a peace sign. We'll see you soon.